From the bustling streets to the quiet corners, every town in Ireland has a story to tell. I'm Alison Curtis, and in this series, we're hitting the road to uncover the heart and soul of communities across the country. We'll be meeting people who make these places special, hear their challenges and triumphs, and celebrate the unique spirit that makes each town its own. So buckle up and join me as we discover the magic of my town, only on Today FM. The name Athenry conjures up images of low-lying fields, ancient castles, and most recently a ballad that echoes through the terraces of Ireland's rugby fans. But as we're about to discover, it is far more than just a song. It is a vibrant tapestry woven from the threads of history, community, and the spirit of embracing the unique. Today on My Town, we delve into the heart of Athenry, where we'll meet modern-day knights who clash in a spectacle of skill and strength, and young artists who bring joy and colour to the streets with their spectacular stilt-walking performances. We'll also discover a beloved local cafe that serves as a cozy snug for the community, a place where stories are shared and connections are made. Oh, and they serve some of the tastiest crepes in Galway. So join me as we explore the diverse and captivating world of Athenry, a town where the past and present intertwine to create a truly special place. Our first stop in Athenry takes us to a place where history literally comes alive. The unassuming building is a home of the 1316 Medieval Fight Club, where modern-day knights from all over the world train and compete in the ancient art of Behurt. Let's step inside and meet Barry Flannery, the founder of this extraordinary club. Barry, can you tell us what Behurt medieval fighting is and how you get involved in this sport?
There's many different names for it. It's medieval combat, armored combat, but the historical name is Behurt or Buhurt or Bohurt.
Okay.
If you're American, if you're English, there's several ways to say it, but B-E-H-O-U-R-D.
Okay.
And it's a throwback to the tournament fighting that men-at-arms would participate in medieval times. And we were founded a couple of years ago by four local guys who just got into the sport. The guy who owned this gym at the time was the guy who set the ball rolling on it. He was aging out of amateur boxing and he wanted something else that was testing for him. So he roped a few more of us in. I had seen it myself at the Wall Towns Festival here in Athenry, that's hosted by the Athenry Heritage Centre in Alan Burgess. They subsequently tie us in each year now to compete in it. Oh. So I had seen something like this happened there at that, and I was like, I need to be part of that.
Okay.
So I got in touch with the lads, and with that, the ball was rolling on 1316. It's actually really nice that myself and the other lads who were the guys who founded the club were all actually from here,
right.
And our families go back generations in the town.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that we're called 1316 Medieval Fight Club is because in 1316, on the 10th of August, it was the second bloodiest battle in the history of Ireland. Subsequently, we said we'd carry that on and keep that as a moment in history.
This is the heart of the action, the list, where these warriors prepare for battle. It's incredible to think that this ancient sport has brought people from all over the world to Athenry. Barry, can you explain the different types of combat in this sport?
Right, so the sport has a lot of different categories. The individual categories would be sword and shield, long sword, polearm, sword and buckler, and also there's outrance, which other associations they call pro fighting, which is like an MMA fight with weapons. And then you have the group fights. You have the denominations of 3 versus 3, which are used currently for some of the female competitors as they find it hard to get numbers to match the 5v5s. They are moving to 5v5s. Then in the men's, you have the 5v5s, you have the 12s, you have 21s. And in BI last year, I believe, they had a mass battle of 150v150. maybe some people from the outside might look at it and think it's insane. Some of us then thrive in the chaos because it is organised chaos. But in regards to the sporting aspect of it, it's pure tactics. You're working with units, you know, unit cohesion, and this is your team and you're moving this way. We were very lucky. We fought with a UK team called Invicta last year. And when we fielded with the team Invicta, you know, we fought well with as a unit. They fought well as a unit. And subsequently, we won, and it was great.
And what do you usually wear when competing?
So what we fight in are mainly bassinets. And the bassinet fits into a certain period of history that allows us to wear different types of armour. But primarily, the reason we fight in bassinets, and they're the most popular helmet in the sport, bar the visor changing for different competitors, is it allows you to move your head. And you can actually have a better field of vision and you have a better perspective on what's going on around you. In those mass battles, it's predetermined that this is who you're with, this is the unit that's beside you, this is who's beside them. But you have a good concept of what's going on around you because that's something we train for, is field awareness. And you have to have a good idea of what's happening. Like,
it's growing in popularity, and it's not like it, like it's a proper workout. Like, you're wearing heavy armor, you're carrying through historical traits of it all, and you're carrying heavy things as well. Like, it's a workout.
It's not for everybody, but
I'm worried it might not be for me.
Well, would you believe there's actually something for everyone in this sport?
Yeah.
We have people here in the club from all walks of life, from all different backgrounds, and they perform many different roles in the club.
Right.
If you aren't comfortable wearing the armour and fighting, some of the armour for most of us is between 25 and 30 kilos.
Wow.
Some people will opt for, most of it is steel, hardened steel, high carbon steel. But some people will opt for a couple of pieces of titanium here and there to try and lighten the weight.
Okay, let's try and get me in some of it.
So if you can just give me your hands, I'll get this on. So this is a brigandine.
That's crazy. That's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
What is it called? It's a vest.
I'm going to hit you on the back of this very lightly. Light.
Oh, that wasn't that light.
But we are striking as hard as we can with the swords, the axes and everything, because it's not play.
Let's give me a break and let's meet some of the other members of the club and hear their stories. Adrian, you're originally from France. What brought you to Athenry and to the world of medieval combat?
I've been living here for 8 years now.
All right.
And I'm in the sport for exactly a year. 2 years ago, I wouldn't even know. Oh. I was going to do this. Like I was kind of saying earlier, I did a bit of mountain biking and stuff. And since I moved to Athenry, I couldn't really do it anymore. It's a bit hard.
Yeah.
So like I was looking for something else to do.
And what brought you from France to Athenry?
Just work. At first I landed in Cork, then I moved to Galway. And with my partner, we decided to buy a house.
Right.
So like we came to Athenry and we loved it since then. At first, when we bought in Athenry, we were like, that's going to be a bit hard, but everybody here is so nice and so welcoming. Like, it's 4 years I'm here now, and
yeah.
I know a lot of people, and I feel really at home. Like.
And Julian, what do you think of Behurt as a sport?
As a martial art, this is a very all-encompassing sport where there's strategy, you've got to have the physicality, you've got to have the skill, you've got to have practiced it, and the whole time you've got to be thinking strategy. So it's almost a physical game of chess that you're constantly engaging in.
Had you ever been involved in this before?
I represented South Africa in previous international tournaments, and I saw the Athenry team online. I thought, these are my people. So I commuted to Sligo for a year just so I could be here and be part of this team. And it really has felt like home very quickly. The people are engaging, so friendly and welcoming. The way things run is enjoyable. The sense of family and community is something that we always look for. My kids have made incredible friends, and yeah, we see ourselves here for the long term.
Now, let's witness these knights in action as they prepare for battle in the shadow of Athenry Castle. Our next stop takes us to the heart of Athenry's creative community, the Glyndŵr Arts and Steel Walking Club. This vibrant group brings together young people from all walks of life to express themselves through art and performance. Let's meet Maura Daly, the driving force behind Glyndŵr. Moira, first off, can you tell us what does Glyndŵr stand for?
Glyndŵr. Yeah. The D in Irish is sometimes like a cross between, it's not quite a TH. It's
yeah.
Hard, it's Glyndŵr. A hard TH, Glyndŵr.
Yeah.
And it means joy or euphoria.
Okay.
We started it just over 10 years ago. I think it was because we and many creative people in Galway found ourselves moving out of the city, obviously, yeah, for affordable housing. So there's a lot of creative people in some of the towns around Galway. And I moved to Athenry and I thought, oh, I get a good feeling about this town and we could do something interesting here. And obviously I had a lot of experience, as you do in Galway, with street theatre. And I remember my husband banning me from joining any community group for a year. Till I found the lay of the land. And I remember watching the St. Patrick's Day parade, and obviously Galway is well known for parades, and it's one of the things that all of the creative people in Galway join in on, and it's part of their community service. They give it for free. And I remember looking at the parade and saying to a local politician, I think we can do better than this. You know, we were kind of standing there huffing diesel fumes on the side of the road, and I said, we can do better. So I asked some friends, could I borrow their children? And we started a stilting troupe with the support of the Galway Community Circus. We don't just have a stilting troupe, and we don't just do street spectacle. We have also done pop-up galleries for the artists in the town. We have done street shows, and we've just done collaborations. We've done bicycle parades and collaborated with the local bicycle group.
The arts help us basically with our mental health.
Yes.
Help us express ourselves. Help us get away from things that stress us out.
Yes.
It's essential.
With what we do, it's highly collaborative. We just throw you up there, and if you don't want to do that, we'll do something else. And it's quite inclusive that way. I mean, we also work with groups. Athenry is terrific because it is the train line, so we have a lot of people with intellectual disabilities who live independently in the town. So one of their groups, the Arch Club, collaborates with us for the parade.
Lovely.
I cannot tell you how much fun
yes.
those rehearsals are. It's just a joy. And that's actually what Glyndŵr means in Irish. Joy. Yeah. One of our community council members is also on our committee. And I roped him in to do something. And after he did it, it was actually performing the Nutcracker on stilts. He wasn't on stilts. And afterwards I said, oh, thanks for bailing us out. That's so good. And he just looked at me and said, are you kidding me?
Thank you.
He said, the energy of these guys. So if anybody's an opportunity to work with young people, it's terribly good crack. It does your mental health good.
Just, I can see, as I said already, your relationship with them. It's just a straight up normal conversation. It's not like, it's, that's the way you have to be.
And I would love if, like the Men's Shed or any group, I would love if there was a Glyndŵr in every town in Ireland, because it can be seasonal. You can decide it's just for the summer, for the festival or whatever. But it's great, and it's great fun.
It's wonderful to see how Glyndŵr brings people together from all walks of life, creating a sense of belonging and a shared experience. Anne-Marie, as a member of the traveller community, how has Glyndŵr helped you and your daughter connect with the wider Athenry community?
My two daughters, Alana Dyle and Kayleigh Hayes, are the first traveller girls stilt walking in Connacht. Now, maybe it's a possibility it could be all of Ireland, but we'll just go with Connacht for the moment. I did my degree in Community, Youth and Family Studies in the University of Galway. I'm in my final year in my Master's in Gender, Globalisation and Rights at the moment. I was the first traveller woman to be on the student union as a student ethnic minority officer in the University of Galway, and in the University of Galway, the first ever traveller society or any travellers within a university setting was called Minker Swidden, and I was the first traveller woman to be elected as chairperson to that society. Through that role in the University of Galway, and that liaison with the Equality and Diversity Manager Owen Ward in the University of Galway, they came together along with the Access Centre, and they have a Traveller Ethnicity Day.
Oh, great.
So they have a big celebration, and it's a sense of belonging within the university, because as we are aware, only 1% of the Irish Traveller community goes on to third level education.
Yeah.
While I was in that role, we were very fortunate to bring Glyndr in.
Yeah.
There was three members of Glyndr who participated stilt walking on that day.
Have you done it?
No, I can't stilt walk. I'm a terrified of heights. Two of those was both my daughters, Alana and Kelly. Alana now is 20, but she has been a member since she's about 14.
Right.
And Kaylee, if you spoke to her already, she will tell you that it's all her life.
Yeah. And how old is she then?
Kaylee is 15.
Oh, is she?
Kaylee is 15, yes. Yeah. So when they participated in the Traveller Ethnicity Day, they dress up in the old way the Traveller women used to dress, with the beady pockets.
Okay.
The skirts and the blouses and the shawls and everything.
So actually just show the culture, showcase it, so people have a greater understanding of it. Yeah.
And it's really important. It's a very important day. Has a member of the travelling community and a student at the University of Galway to have that space to show the wagons, the tents, the singing, the storytelling, and have two of your daughters, you know, dressed up in the old style. It really is. It's heartwarming. Really, Glyndr has become a really big part of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Because over the past 4 or 5 years, we had a very big upheaval in my own family life with my kids. And it was the one thing that kept us going. And it's the way that the adults came around and supported, not just me, but supported my children as well through this massive upheaval without getting into too much information about it. But on another aspect of it, as the Child and Youth Liaison Officer, it's a space where you see young people coming in who's not part of like hurling or football.
That's exactly what Moira was saying. So like, it's such, sport can be such a big part of younger people's lives, and if it doesn't suit them, what do they do?
So these young people comes here, and you'll see them when they come in, they're so quiet. Yeah. But as the weeks goes on, and when they get the confidence and they get their new skill, you can see them blossoming. It's actually like a flower. We have seen children coming through Glyndr who would be struggling with their sexuality, their identity. Mm-hmm. It's heartwarming to know that we have this safe space where these youngsters can come in.
Kind of shed that.
And shed that. Yeah. And it's like they transform and they take on everything that they have. And it doesn't make any difference if you're, you know, different.
Now, let's join the Glyndr Stiltwalkers, bringing smiles and wonder to everyone they meet.
My name's Adam Brady. At first, I was like kind of helping out and like in the parade, just like handing out bottles of water. Like if they need help with like carrying drums, I'd be there. But like then eventually I just became like, there was like a Stilton like workshop. So I was like, do you know what? I'll try it out. The first time I was actually really nervous because like I was afraid in case like if I fell and broke something. But
I've never talked to someone that's so far away from me.
I'm Dahi Gannon.
How did you get involved?
I'll be honest, my mum saw it on Facebook and thought it'd be a good thing for me to do. Yeah. So it's very fun and it's good for like getting out there.
My name is Caitlin Gannon.
And you were 7 when you started.
Yeah. I like the atmosphere, like when it's coming up to parades, and just like it really makes it way more exciting because it's something that we all look forward to, and the build up and the preparation.
But it's like, you know, a lot of kids can say like they play an instrument or they play soccer or they're on GA, but not a lot of people are like, oh, I'm a stilt walker.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're like, what's that? And I was like, you know, the people in parades on the wooden legs? Yeah, that's me.
After a morning of adventure and excitement, it's time for a well-deserved break at the Nook Cafe, a local favorite known for its delicious coffee and very friendly atmosphere.
Hello.
How are you?
How are you? Have a seat.
Let's chat to Julie Murphy, the owner of this charming cafe. Julie, how did this cafe come to be?
I come from a construction background, and when the recession came in, we all lost our jobs in construction. So I thought, you know what, I came back west. I was living in Dublin at the time, and I had this shop. It's gorgeous little premises. I owned it. So I thought, let's put it to use. There's a lovely warm energy when you come in here, because there was happy families here for many years.
Yeah.
And then I bought it and I lived here, and then we created the Nook. And there's just something very soulful about making your own stuff and feeding people. I make all my own stuff. I do all my own sauces, all my own relishes that go on the crepes, all my own pastries. So just as your own stamp. And we stock up and buy local. We get our meat from Brady's a few doors up, our vegetables in the market.
What's your most popular crepe people order?
I think the Nookie.
Yeah, the Nookie.
Is that what you had? They're all unique. Everyone has their own favourite. And yeah, and we keep trying to change it up a bit.
Athenry, you've truly shown me that you're more than just a song. You're a town that embraces its heritage while looking towards the future, a place where community and creativity thrive. You're a shining example of how a small town can have a big impact. Thank you for reminding me that every town has a unique story to tell and that every voice matters. Until next time, Athenry, keep on singing your song. My Town is presented by me, Alison Curtis. Audio and visuals by Cathal O'Sullivan. Scripting and sound design by Lachlan Hart. Researcher, Shannon Kenny. Executive producer, Mark Lenihan. This project is co-funded by Commission Naman under the Sound and Vision Scheme.